Live in Glasgow's Merchant City Square. And live from the Miami Stadium. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Scotland 0, Brazil 3, and it is a result that leaves Scotland's chances teetering on the edge. It's going to be a nervous wait over the next few days to see whether Scotland are going to be able to qualify in third place. We have 3 points, we have a minus three goal difference, and there were some real defensive disasters in that game for Scotland, which happened in the game against Morocco as well. We are taking your calls, so get in touch right now. We are here until 2 o'clock in the morning, so you can get in touch, let us know what you thought of the game. What did you think of the setup? How Steve Clarke handled it? How you think some of the players played? Do you think we are going to get through? We are seeing the graphic on the TV, and it says defeat by three goals shows a 49.2% chance of reaching the last 32. So it couldn't really be more on a knife edge. It's more or less a 50-50 whether we get through or not, Gordon Dale.
Yes, it's going to be a nervous couple of days. Obviously waiting to see what the situation's going to be at the end of play. But on our performances in the World Cup, I think we've been poor, I've got to admit. And tonight, I think we got a lot of things wrong. Individual errors cost us goals against individual players that are top quality. Are always going to punish you. I don't think we offered enough. And the most disappointing thing for me is we've got big players, but I don't think they've stood up to this tournament at all. I don't think our big players have, you know, impacted us in any way. And it will be a nervous wait. Listen, will we take it? Of course we will, but I think it's been a disappointing tournament.
Well, joining myself, Scott Allen and Gordon DL here in the Tap Yard in Merchant City Square is Scotland fan Craig. Thanks for taking the time to come up and join us, Craig. What were your thoughts on that game?
I mean, just touching on what Gordon said there about the, I mean, really let down by some of the McTominay chances. I mean, the big players kind of stepping up to the moment, and I think he really let us down. Yeah.
Because Scott McTominay, he ended up getting in some goal-scoring areas tonight, Scott, which he hasn't done really across the rest of the tournament. He had a couple of headers, he had that shot towards the end. The system was maybe set up better for him to, you know, crash the box more and get goal scoring chances, but you know, people might point some fingers at him and some of the other Scotland's, you know, top players and say that across these three games they've maybe not shown up.
No, I outlift John McGinn's solitary goal against Haiti, the aid of a deflection, we haven't performed at all. And the players you touch on there, McTominay, I'll touch on based on tonight's performance, yes, he had chances arriving in the box. The one header goes right down the throat of Alisson, and then the one he actually tries to direct in the corner, which is unfortunate, and then the one at the end, we didn't manage to see a replay back of it, so we can't see how clear cut that was. But his actual general play out with the chances, for me, I thought was really poor for the level that he's playing at and for the level that we have seen him perform for us. Very loose in the ball at times, looked one pace, which I don't know if that's because of the level of opposition you are playing against sometimes, the heat may be playing a factor in individual players at times, but we've been in with so much hope, and it's felt really flat, hasn't it, since the Morocco game.
You can maybe take it sometimes, Craig, if you know a team like Brazil, who have top quality players, but end up, you know, cutting you apart with some brilliant play. But the two goals in the first half especially, and then the one that was ruled out from VAR, were the architects of their own downfall, weren't they?
Yeah, I mean, I think, yeah, touching on McTominay, just kind of looked a bit lost in the moment, I think, of the game. And yeah, we just really didn't cement those chances that could have, you know, turned the tide for the team.
I think when we're talking about chances, the chances we create are half chances.
Aye.
I think we lack a real belief when we get into the final third.
There was nothing concrete to just, you know what I mean, they just cut us apart at the back. Like,
I don't think there's anything really deliberate about how we play though, whether that's building out for the back. Tonight we looked as if we looked, even though they sat off the game looking to counter attack, is because we don't play that way normally, guys are landing on the ball and there's nothing that you can really see worked on to then get yourself into a certain position. It's off the cuff, whether that's from the back, and then when it gets to the final third,
yeah,
just no real belief there.
It looked like after that, after the obviously we came on at the second half there, it looked like we were just trying to build out a bit from the back and control a bit of the game, and that just never really panned out.
No. What I was disappointed tonight was, look, Steve Clark can't take the blame for individual errors, and we certainly made a couple of them tonight. Where I was disappointed him as a manager is there was crying out for substitutions for me. And then you wait to, 89 minutes on the clock,
yeah.
And you make those substitutions. That baffles the life out of me.
So, I mean, before half-time, the two of you are calling out for there to be changes. Only one change at half-time as an enforced one, because Andy Robertson gets injured. The next substitution that Steve Clark made in the game was in the 81st
minute of the game.
Playing Alistair and Christie.
Yeah. I just can't grasp it, because, as I say, I'm not picking out players, but Shanklin just didn't get the service, offered nothing. We needed something different. We need someone that was going to, Lan Adams, that could run in behind, or a Dykes that was going to be a handful and a bit of strength and holding the ball up. We looked in the middle of the park, Kenny McLean came in tonight, hardly seen him. John McGinn, you know, the fans' favourite, hardly seen him. It needed some change. And a bit of sharpness, a bit of brightness. You look at Tierney, come on. I thought Tierney had a good second half.
Yeah.
You know, he added something to it. But to wait to 89 minutes, I couldn't grasp his thinking tonight for Steve Clark.
You feel there is way more that the Scotland team are capable of, you know, individual players. And we've got to hope, Craig, that other teams do us a favour and that we get another opportunity and another game to stand up and show what we can do.
Yeah, we could have really done with, you know, just 2-0 or something, to be honest.
It's just that the difference that third goal makes is massive in terms of percentage chances, and it just means that there are more results now that we're having to sit there and cross our fingers and cross our toes and pray that they go in our favour.
It's a nervous week.
You can't legislate for individual errors, as Dad says. You can't. That's in the moment decisions, knowing how important the game is. And sometimes, see, the football player, Dad will tell you, you look after yourself first a lot of the time, don't you? And you try and make sure that you don't make these sort of mistakes. That's the surprising thing about that. And especially going down so early against Morocco, you think you've learned that lesson. You start the game brightly. You give away the goal, and the man like you do, we get away with the next one that Jack Henry's lacks any sort of intensity to move the ball and realise that there's a bit of danger there coming from the pressure from Vinicius Junior, and then the one before half time tells you.
See, the craziest thing about it, Scotty, is the fact that the only positive you can take, and this is crazy, is the fact that it was only 3-0.
I know.
You know what I mean? They could have really cemented us.
Could have punished us.
Yeah, leaving America tonight.
Angus Gunn did have some big saves.
Yeah, exactly. And we'll still get that slight little bit of hope that we can make the knockout stages. And I know that a lot of people will be disappointed and say, well, we probably don't deserve it over the three games. But you'll take it all day long. That's what the tournament's here for. But as I say, strangely enough, the positives is it could have been 4 or 5 that would have probably seen us on the next flight home.
Yeah, it's a good place to build from now as a team, as a young
see, Clarks. I'm not sure though, because I feel like we're going through the same thing tournament to tournament now. Where we're ending it, we're at feeling a deflation and expecting so much more from a group of players who we know and we see perform week in, week out with our clubs at a much higher level.
But we're here at the end of the day, like, you know, as a fan.
I know, but I think at the same time, we've got to have higher expectations than what we're serving up there.
See, I don't buy that we're just here, because I hear this constantly about the quality of players we've got, the leagues that they play in. They're winning in Europe. And if you look at other teams, Cape Verde and teams like that, that's organised and prepared to go out there and work their socks off and get a bit of success, I think we're underachieving.
We looked a bit lost tonight, to be fair.
Well, thank you very much to Craig. We'll let you head off and get to your bed. We are speaking to people live in the venue, but we are also taking your calls on the line. And next up is Paul in Maryhill. Paul, how are you feeling after that?
That's good enough, to be fair. How you doing?
We got you, Paul.
Hi, hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, got you loud and clear, Paul. How are you feeling after that? What did you make of the performance?
A bit scared off, to be fair. Like, there was no attacking player at all.
Let's try Finn and Renfrew, shall we? I think he's maybe got a clearer line. Have we got you, Finn?
Yeah. I'm just a wee bit disappointed. I was looking at that and I just think we're off with nothing. And it's just mistakes that we've given away time and time again. Morocco was a mistake. The three goals today, I feel like they came from mistakes as well. I just think it's going to hit us that we didn't beat Haiti by more.
Yeah, you look across the last two games and losing 1-0 to Morocco is not an embarrassing result in the slightest. Losing 3-0 to Brazil can happen to so many teams, but as you said earlier on, Scott, we've been left deflated in previous major tournaments. And the results alone maybe isn't it, but it's just the manner of the goals we've conceded that leave you feeling deflated, because there's that feeling that we could have done so much more in these games and it didn't need to go the way it has gone.
No, and that is the overall overriding feeling, I think, through many Scottish fans throughout the country and over obviously watching it in the States at this moment in time. The goals, you can't legislate for, very poor, and it just makes a challenging job even harder than it already is. I go back to the Haiti game, that for me, the fact that at the time we were saying 1-0, and it was a good result, and if you get the result you need tonight, then we're looking at it going, well done, but we were hanging on against Haiti, and I think...
They've shown themselves to be an alright outfit, in fairness, 4-2 against Morocco today.
We'll say it again, Andrew, about the calibre of player we supposedly have, yeah, and the level they're playing at. We've got this thing, and obviously the guy joined us there, and he's speaking about we're happy to be there, that we're never going to solve this if we've all just accept mediocrity, and that's the biggest thing for me. We've got to be showing up better than what we've shown at this tournament so far, and it might just be enough, the goal difference, to get us through. But the thing that doesn't sit right with me is just accepting that, we're just happy to be there. I don't like that attitude, and for all younger Scottish fans who are 9-10 and have aspirations of playing at World Cup and competing with these sort of level of players, we have to want better.
Finn, what is the... Is it just frustration? Is that the main feeling? Is it disappointment?
I think it's just the team selection as well. Like, Patterson had a poor game against Morocco, I feel, and they still started again. I mean, I know it's like Ralston's coming off the bench to start and they're off the bench for Patterson, but they're bringing on Neymar, so I don't really know what you can do in that scenario. But I just think the team selection was wrong again.
Do you think the team selection was wrong from the start? I'm not sure many people would have said that when the team initially came out.
I said it when I heard the team. I quite liked the team. But our back four tonight for the goals were dreadful defending, absolute dreadful. And I keep getting back to it. If you go and look at teams that, like, say, a same sort of a size of a nation and what they've got to pick from, they've got big players that turn up in these tournaments and go and produce the goods. We put so much pressure on the likes of McTominay's and McGinn's and Robertson's, and I've now watched in two tournaments, the Euros in Germany and obviously this World Cup, and for me they've not produced. They've not produced at all.
But Dad,
and this is why we hold them in such high esteem, because we're looking for them to, and they have got the quality. It's not like they've not got the, they play against top players week in, week out with their clubs. They play in good leagues, but they just seem to, when they put that Scotland top on, they don't, I agree with you, I think we're now in a situation where we're quite happy to be good failures. You know, 1-0 against Morocco isn't the worst result we've ever seen, right? 3-0 against Brazil, not the worst result. It could get us to the knockout stages. I think we're now just accepting being, you know, failures, but as long as we're not getting beat 5 and 6-0, surely we're better than that. And you keep getting back to it, and the fans will tell you, we have got a good squad with good players, with a mixture of experience and youth, but we don't seem to be producing tournaments.
I think you can expect McTominay and John McGinn's, even Shankland after the good season he had, Andy Robertson's, there has to be an expectation. The one thing I'll say about the Scotland fans, I think they give them a lot more leeway than a lot of other nations. if they don't perform, and some of the pressure that's on their shoulders. For us, as you say, we're speaking about going there and accepting 1-0s. There should be a bit of freedom there, because I don't think there's a real vitriol towards our players when they don't perform well compared to other nations. I really don't believe that. I think they have a real back in there. You've seen the support in the stadium, you've seen the fans clapping them off at the end. It then just becomes, do you want to take that pressure on your shoulders?
Do you know what, the sickening thing about it is? Because people will make excuses, oh, look at where Morocco and Brazil are ranked in the world rankings, right? You look at England, for instance, everybody thinks that England can go deep in this tournament. In fact, the English, once again, with arrogance, think they can go and win it. You look at their game last night, you know what I mean, against Ghana. It's, and they go out there, they're well organised, they work hard for each other, and all the players step up and they get a great result.
But they have pace up their end of the park, though, that allows
them. Yeah, I know, but we just don't seem, when we come to tournaments, we just don't seem to get it right. We hype all our players up, and yet again, they disappoint the Tartan Army, who have been absolutely brilliant. Travelled there, huge numbers, spent fortunes, absolute fortunes, and yet we don't, the players don't give anything back for me.
Well, thank you to Finn on the line. We will continue to take your calls, and we'll be speaking to people here live at the Tap Yard in Merchant City Square in Glasgow next.
The great thing about Atlas Butler is they do it all. Heating, cooling, plumbing. Look, I'm busy with work. I don't have time to wait around or deal with lots of people. One company, one call, and they do it all. Wonder if they'll clean out my inbox. Seriously, offer that service. Please.
Atlas Butler is at your service. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Welcome back to Yeah, That's a Pepper Thing. First up, we've got Harrison wrapping his Dr. Pepper in a tiny quilt so it feels at home. Oh, how tender. That's a Pepper Thing! And over to Becca, who's whispering affirmations to her can.
You're sweet. You're unique. You're the best thing I ever poured over ice.
She swears it makes it taste better. It's not a science thing, but it's a Pepper Thing! Why do they all do it? All for that sweet, delicious, truly one-of-a-kind taste of Dr. Pepper. It's a Pepper Thing!
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
The days are longer, the calendar is filling up, and I want to feel as good as this beautiful summer weather. That's why I've been loving Grüns. It's one daily pack of gummies that covers my greens, vitamins, minerals, and even has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber, so I don't need to juggle a complicated wellness routine on top of everything else. They taste amazing, they're easy to toss in my bag on the go, plus they're vegan, gluten-free, and HSA and FSA, eligible for reimbursement. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grüns.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.co.
Live in Glasgow's Merchant City Square, and live from the Miami Stadium, 0141-951-1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Scotland's chances of progressing in this World Cup now hang in the balance. Scotland 0, Brazil 3, the full-time score in Miami, and it's going to be a waiting game to see whether we get through to the last 32. It's not how we wanted to progress, but it's the only way we can progress now. We're going to need to sit back, tensely watch the other games. We're going to have to chew on our fingernails and hope that favours are done for us. If you want to join us on the show, you can give us a ring right now. Scott Allen and Gordon DL here with me, Andrew McLean. We are at Merchant City Square, and we are going to be speaking to people live in the venue, but taking your calls. Up next, we are going to be speaking to Chad, who is in Bear's Den. Chad, what did you make of the game?
Hi, Scott, Gordon, Andy, how are you all doing?
Chad, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. How are you?
We're all right, Chad. We're hanging in there after that. What did you make of the game?
Well, do you know what? I really don't want to be negative about Scotland fans, right? Because Scotland fans are immense. And we go all over the world. We're superb. But my father's 82 this year, right? I'm 52. I remember when I was in my 20s, Scotland qualified for 5 World Cups in a row. And my dad told me at that time, we will get out of the group stage. And we're now in 2026, and we've still not done it. And I don't know if this is even an easier qualification stage to get out of, because they've extended it. But we've still messed up. So my question is, even they extend it to
But I get the point that Chad's making, that it is the easiest possible route to get through of any World Cup. More teams progress than get knocked out. 32 go through out of the 48. You know, it hasn't been easier. And if we're going to get through, we're going to scrape through Gordon, which for some people might not be enough. But you know what? We'll absolutely take it if we get through. But we could have given ourselves a much better chance.
Yeah, of course we can. And we got off to a good start, because everybody says must win game in the first opening game. We got that. I always said I would have preferred a second goal. I know it was difficult because they showed that they can score 2 goals against Morocco. But I think over a piece, once again, when it's come down to tournament football, I don't think we've showed enough. Individual errors have been terrible. You can look at team selection, you can look at situations with substitutions. Steve Clarke's got to take a bit of responsibility. He comes in for a lot of criticism of negative football. Now, to me, looking at tonight, he started with a team that I quite like, I've got to say. I like the fact that Cannon don't. But if we're going to play that sort of football, we've got to get the ball, the right ball, the right service. You look at Shankland, for instance. I'm a massive Shankland fan. He ran about for nearly 90 minutes and hardly kicked the ball. Now, it wasn't a fact of lack of effort. It was a fact that we had no quality going up to him. Absolutely none whatsoever. And I just feel that it was a tournament, a World Cup, and we're still in it just now. Fingers crossed that we can get to the knockout stages. But once again, I don't think we've done ourselves any favours.
What went wrong for you tonight, Chad?
Well, no, I agree totally with Gordon was saying, right? Shankland is the best striker Scotland have for in the box, right? But he's not a hold-up player. So it was clear there, even after the first half, that he wasn't getting the ball to hold it up for midfield. So for me, I know that
Dyke, and he does very well at holding the ball up and linking play, and when he's playing as a front two, you know, he's been praised for that side of his game. But we've not really seen that at all in the World Cup across the 2 games that he started.
We have been really deep throughout the competition at times, though. So what he done really well for Hearts was when it was played up to him, he's really good at spinning it into a space for somebody to stretch him behind. We haven't really had that option out with Ben Gannon Dope. And ultimately, when we were talking about team selection tonight, it was probably the best team that Steve Clarke could have picked tonight, I would say.
Yeah, the only surprise I've got, and I've said it every time I see Shankland, I think Shankland's better when he's got a strike partner up beside him. I think he needs someone that can do that work that he can't, like say, spinning off defenders and getting in behind with a bit of pace. I think if you look at Shankland over all his career, I think he performs better when he's a double act up there. He's a very good player, he's a very natural goal scorer, but I'm not convinced he's a lone striker, especially tonight when the quality of the service, and I'm going to say that, the quality of service wasn't good enough for him. You can go up there and you can work your socks off, but you need a bit of service to get involved in the game. That didn't happen for Shankland tonight.
Well, thank you very much to Chad on the line. As I said, if you want to get involved on the phones, you can give us a call right now. We are going to be here until 2 o'clock, so you can phone in, you can put your point across. We're also taking callers live here at the Tap Yard in Merchant City Square, and we've got the main man from the Tap Yard, Ian, the owner, is coming to join us. First of all, thank you very much for hosting us here, and we're hoping that it's not going to be the final time we're here. We don't know yet, because we don't know what the future holds for Scotland at the World Cup. But what did you make, first of all, of the performance tonight?
I mean, from what I've seen tonight, they were just a pass above us tonight, I think. And so the way Vinicius and kind of Gabriel kind of head up that team. We've got quality, obviously, all over the park. But when we go up against teams like that, we kind of get found out a wee bit. But listen, I hope Scotland get through. It's obviously going to be massive for us. So, we've got a new place opening next week. So if Scotland get through, if we don't get through, it's an expensive one.
Because that's it. When you're coming up against such quality opposition, the one thing you don't want to do is give them a head start.
No,
we did it once. We almost did it a second time, got away with it with the Jack Hendry mistake, and then did it a third time.
We added to our own downfall tonight. I thought our defending was very poor for the goals. Listen, give them a bit of credit with their movement, their quality, and individually they're very, very good players. But defensive-wise, if Steve Clark sits back and he analyses that, I think when you look with your foot, I would be very disappointed losing those goals.
Yeah, Ian, early doors, it looked as if Scotland were looking a bit more positive, that they were kind of on the front foot. That was the opening 7 minutes, but then you started to fear really as soon as that first goal went in.
Yeah, I think we've put ourselves on the back foot from the start the last two games, and I think our goal threat is it's been kind of few and far between, and then when it comes to the last kind of 15-20 minutes, we're chucking the ball forward and hoping to get some knockdowns. But at the end of the day, we've had an amazing moment at the start of the tournament with John McGinn, and we'll probably dine off that for a good few years to come. But I think tonight's game, we just came up against a better team, and then we just need to hope results go our way.
Did it surprise you that, you talk about the lack of cutting edge in the final third, the fact that there didn't really seem to be much in the way of ideas for Scotland, that Steve Clark did try and tweak things quicker, because apart from the change at half-time, which was enforced, Andy Robertson got injured, it took until the 81st minute for him to really try and make those attacking changes.
I think he's up against top quality opposition, so it's kind of, you look at the bench and what can he bring on that's, trying to come on to it. I think that's probably where our problem lies, is when you look at the bench, we started there, that is our strong team, and it's really, they don't really have a plan B against such top quality opposition like that.
Because people will start to question some of the thought processes behind Steve Clark's substitutions across the tournament. We mentioned it earlier on. Lawrence Shanklin starts game number one. Game number two, when Scotland are chasing a goal, doesn't get off the bench, but Lyndon Dykes and Ross Stewart do. Then in game three, Lawrence Shanklin stays on for the 90 minutes. Lyndon Dykes, Ross Stewart, nowhere to be seen. Shea Adams, it takes him until, the 90th minute to get on the pitch?
Yeah, we've seen this over a number of campaigns now, though, Andrew. It's really hard to second guess what Steve Clark's going to do. Shanklin, rightly for me, came out to the side against Morocco because I didn't feel he had a good game against Haiti. There's no getting away from that. I thought Dykes came on, had an impact. So I think me and Daz looking at it at half time going, Shanklin had kind of ran his race and wasn't really getting anything in behind as such. And the one thing we had to do tonight, we had to stretch in behind and at least allow us to get up the park. We didn't. He makes the changes far too late. In that last 10 minutes, and I know a few fault with Scott McTominay, everything just becomes so hopeful. And that's how it's felt since the opening game for me. Hopeful, nothing of that you kind of see on the training part that it really works certain situations in a game to then allow us to go and create. I don't see that when I watch us play. I think you're then relying on big moments from players who perform well at their clubs and hoping that it falls to someone. Even if you do put on a Dykes in the last 15 minutes, what is it? It's up to him, hoping that he brings someone into the game, we get a shot away. And ultimately, when you give goals away like you do against a team like Brazil, you're going to get punished. It's hard enough. If you lose a goal of real quality, you can hold your hands up. That's the frustration, and that will be the frustration throughout the rest of the week, and it will ultimately be the questions that will be asked of Steve Clark and his side if we don't manage to go through to the knockout phase.
Thank you very much to Ian for joining us here, but also hosting us at the Tap Yard. He has been brilliant with the hospitality, and hopefully there's another Scotland game to come for your sake and all our sake as well. But thank you to Ian.
We'll
let
you
get away. Thank you very much. We still want to hear from you at home, so give us a ring now. We're going to try and gather the last of the Scotland supporters in here at the Tap Yard, and we will speak to you next.
Live in Glasgow's Merchant City Square and live from the Miami Stadium. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
final chance to have your say on Super Scoreboard. We are reflecting on Scotland 0, Brazil 3, and now we have no idea whether we are going to be in the last 32 of the World Cup. It's a waiting game for the next few days. We need to hope that results go in our favour and that we can qualify as one of the best placed third place teams. Scott Allen and Gordon DL here with me, Andrew McLean. We are at the Tap Yard on Merchant City Square in Glasgow, and we are taking your calls through to 2 o'clock. So please get in touch. We're going to speak to Martin in Wishaw. Martin, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. How are you guys?
Not too bad, thank you. What did you make of that performance and the result?
Really disappointed. I just think it's just the usual. We get ourselves all hyped up. And I'd like to ask you, in hindsight, Steve Clarke getting an extension before the World Cup, are you happy at that right now?
Yeah, I think there was always going to be question marks just about the timing of Steve Clarke getting the contract. He wanted it sewn up before the World Cup, and you kind of felt like he held a lot of the cards there because of the success he brought in terms of getting Scotland back to major tournaments. The SFA are a massive fan of Steve Clarke, but it was always going to be a bit of a risk, because if Scotland went to the tournament and, say, lost to Haiti in game number one, then there would have been big question marks over it. Scotland can still get to the last 32. We can still create history. If we don't do it, there'll maybe be some question marks over that decision. If we end up getting through, despite the fact that some of their performances have been a bit disappointing, there'll maybe be sort of less question marks over it, you would say.
Yeah, I think a lot of fans will be asking the same question tonight. Was it wise, especially after the disappointment? You know, normally like it is, if we do end up coming home, then a lot of Scottish fans will be certainly disappointed with the manager. But the SFA seem to have rewarded him because of what he's achieved, and you can't take that away from him. Listen, we've got to the tournaments. Have we performed when we've got there? No, I think it's been very disappointing. Germany, I thought, was really disappointing. And I think with an opportunity in the World Cup, we've scored one goal, and we got a little bit of luck with that as well. I don't think many of our big players have turned up. Tonight was the first time I've really looked and thought, you know, substitution wise, I was very, very puzzled with what Steve Clarke was thinking. I really do, bringing on guys with 90 minutes played, and okay, added time goes on to that, but I think if Steve Clarke doesn't progress here, I do think he will come in for a lot of criticism. I think deserves the show, but whether he's worthy of his 4-year contract, that obviously is SFA thinks so.
Well, then I suppose part of that comes down to the fact that standards have been raised now, because just getting to a major tournament was enough, but Steve Clarke has now done that 3 times, so he is the manager that has raised those standards and is now having to meet those standards and expectations.
At the same time, we're getting away from it, as we have more chances of getting to tournaments now. Tournaments have been expanded as this one. What you can't take away from is we finished top of our group. We finished top of our group to get here, and that deserves huge credit. If you're asking me my opinion on getting the 4-year extension before the tournament, it wasn't for me at that time. I thought you have to then, if you've raised the standard, you then judge the standard from what we're like in the actual competition, and that's the Euros that we've been at and now the World Cup. That's where I would have judged the standards from, and where you want to go from there. We've came so far, we've scored one goal, as Dad said, John McGinn deflects in, and I just felt between them mutually, if they do have a good understanding between each other, there was no reason why that couldn't have been renegotiated or revisited at the end of the tournament and see what was best going forward for both parties.
Has it been a disappointing 3 games for you, Martin?
Really good, in the sense we got the win, that was the most important thing, but the performance wasn't there, but the 3 points is most important. I just feel as though, as you've all said, we've been there 3 tournaments now, and I just feel as though we're not kicking on. I don't want to be in a situation where we're just happy to be qualifying. I think we need to kind of set standards a little bit here for Scotland.
That was the biggest thing for me. I think the acceptance. I don't like the thought of accepting that we get there and that's it. I think we've got to want more than that. We've got to have a more belief about us as a nation moving forward. We've seen teams like Croatia over the years have a real impact in these sorts of competitions. I just not been excited
over the three games. As much as I like the 1-0 win against it, there's not been a lot to get excited about. I mean, what? And forgive me for wanting to be entertained watching football.
Well, you can tell that Steve Clarke is frustrated by what's happened tonight, because I was just seeing there that his BBC interview, his flash interview that he did, apparently gave two very short answers to begin with, and then his third answer, when he was asked about, you know, hopes of progressing, said, sorry, I don't want to talk about that, and walked out the interview.
You're kidding on.
No.
Yeah, listen, he's got to be disappointed. Of course he has, because he's obviously seen the amount of people who have travelled to America, Boston, first and foremost.
Do they not deserve a
yeah, and he knows he's carrying that on his shoulders. He knows it's been a disappointing tournament once again. As I say, we don't know if we're in the next plane home at the weekend or we're going to go through the knockout stages, but I can understand that a little bit. I can, because he must be so, so disappointed, because I am fed up hearing us talk about how good a squad and big, big players we've got when they don't seem to turn up for tournaments for me.
Yeah, is that a frustration for you, Martin, the fact that, you know, some of the big players, the ones who, you know, we credit with the fact that they've got us to this position, maybe just haven't shown up on the biggest stage?
Guys like Scott McTominay, John McGinn, the guys have really produced for us in the big stage for like the qualifying, but that's three tournaments now where we've not really shown up, and we can all criticise Steve Clarke, and I've been one of his biggest critics, but those guys have not shown up for him as well. They're not helping him, and I don't know where to go from here.
I think when you're talking about McTominay and John McGinn though, right, you need to realise the level of manager they're working with at club level. John McGinn's working with an Unai Emery who, structure wise and how he sets his team up, is up there with one of the best in the world for me. Incredible the amount of success he's had in the UEFA Cup, how well he's done with Aston Villa. So they work off the same structure week to week, and they're incredible at it. So same with McTominay at Napoli. You're then going to Scotland, and a lot of the stuff is off the cuff. There's no getting away from that. You can see by how we play that a lot of stuff is hopeful. So you're talking about playing a system where it's completely different from what it is actually like at the clubs.
I'd spoken to quite a few former Scotland players in the build-up to this tournament, and quite a few of them, Kenny Dalglish included, said that he didn't really enjoy the tournaments when he was there at the time, because he said that every time he finished up, he felt just disappointed that Scotland could have done more at the tournament and should have done more at the tournament and never actually managed it, never made it to a knockout stage. And his advice to these players was, make sure that's not you this year. And, it, you know, we still might get through, but you do fear that there are maybe some players that will be in that dressing room thinking that they could have done more over the course of the three games, Gordon.
Oh, 100%. There's no doubt. And I think that tonight, on evidence that I'm watching, I think that Steve Clarke can go and reflect on tonight and think, did I make the right substitutions at the right time? And that's what his job is. You know, he can only influence that from, you know, making the substitutions or a tactical tweak. He can't do anything about the individual errors. That's not on Steve Clarke, that's down to the players. I agree, you've got to embrace it. It's a World Cup, we've waited so long, the hype getting there, the players must have seen the scenes that constantly every day what the Tartan Army was doing in America and making us proud to be Scottish. And I just think once again we've not embraced it and we've probably let the fans down. Now, we've no divine right to go and win every game, but I just don't, I never believed in any of the games, even the first one. You know what I mean? I think that we were a wee bit fortunate to get the 3 points, but we went with the same old, oh, the most important thing is a win, must-win game. We got that right, fine, but we're now in a position that we might be on the way home. And, you know, we look back at another tournament, and it could be we scored one goal and with a bit of help from deflection, and apart from that, I don't think we've offered a lot. I really don't.
Martin, is the hope that, you know, if results go our way and we get through, that there is more to come from this Scotland team, that those players can step up?
I would really hope that, but I've not got a lot of confidence, to be honest. It's just we've been here before the last few years, and we seem as though we've learned lessons, and we just never do. And I think we just, it's either Steve Clark has really negative tactics, or the players don't show up, our big players. And even if we get through, as much as that is great, and I would much rather get through than not, I'm just really deflated that we're just going to kind of let ourselves down.
Well, thank you to Martin. There are some games that are just about to kick off on the TV, and this is the situation we're in. We need to concentrate on Czech Republic against Mexico. We need to concentrate on South Korea against South Africa. We need to hope that Czech Republic don't beat Mexico. We need to hope that South Africa don't beat South Korea. We need to look at all these permutations. It's too late, it's too early in the morning, whatever, for us to think about that right now, but we will be watching closely across the next few days to make sure that hopefully Scotland can finish in one of those places. Just finally, before we finish up, Gordon DL, what are your reflections of what you saw tonight?
I think, like everyone else, I think I'm a bit disappointed tonight. You know, you've taken on one of the greatest teams in Brazil in the history's gone by. Tonight, I didn't think we'd done ourselves proud at all. I'm just keeping my fingers crossed, Andrew, for one more game, because I've got one more shirt, the yellow one still to wear. So I'm hoping that eventually comes out next week. But I think it has been a sort of a disappointing campaign for me. But we're still alive just now, and hopefully we can get there for another game.
Well, that is all we have time for tonight. Hopefully it's not going to be the last World Cup game we bring you coverage of. We have our fingers crossed that results are going to go in our favour, and Scotland will have a round of 32 game to look forward to. But until then, we just need to wait and see. We need to watch the games. We need to hope that it's going to happen. Thank you very much to Scott Allen. Thank you to Gordon DL here at the Tap Yard. Thank you to the staff here for the hospitality. Hopefully we will be back some point soon for coverage of another Scotland game. But most importantly, thank you to you for listening in, for phoning in, getting involved. Maybe you are here and you joined us. Thank you very much. Scotland 0, Brazil 3, the full time score. And as I said, hopefully we'll be back soon for some more Scotland action at the World Cup.